Amen. I want to invite you to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 10. And as you turn there today, I want to remind you again about our prayer initiative over these, what was 40 days, and it's less than that now, leading up to Easter. And part of the reason to download that app and prayer walk your neighborhood or your job or your school is, one, you might find out that other people are also praying for your neighborhood. That's kind of a cool thing. Or maybe you're the only one in your neighborhood who's praying for your neighbors. What a privilege that is to pray for our neighbors. And so don't dismiss that. And, oh, by the way, you need the exercise, okay? So that's just for free today. You need it. So do I. We all need it. We need the exercise. And so that's just another encouragement to you. Have you ever gone into a situation and acted like you had authority, but you didn't? You walked in somewhere and you acted like you were in charge, but really you weren't. You ever been there? I tell my boys all the time, now that they're all adults, I told them this growing up, that if you're confident when you walk into a situation, most people will listen to you, if you're confident. And unfortunately, one of my sons has kind of taken that to the extreme. You'll have to guess which one, and you're probably wrong in your guess, actually. And just will say anything to show his knowledge or perceived knowledge. And he gets away with a lot because of that. But sometimes not having authority comes back to haunt you because you think you're the big man on campus and you're really not. And so someone puts you in your place. Well, today we're going to look at a passage where Jesus actually gives 12 people authority to do something, and he's actually given us the same authority. These 12 guys had authority to do something. It's the same authority that he gives us. So let's look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, and see what Jesus wants of these 12 guys and the kind of authority that he's given them. It says there in verse 5, "These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, 'Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff. For the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town.'" Now, Jesus sends out 12 guys. We know who those people are. He sends them out. And what we didn't read was verse 1, which says, "And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and affliction." So he gave them authority, and then he sends them out, all 12 of them, "Go with my authority." And one of the things that we have to remember is that when we go, wherever we go, we don't go on our own authority. We don't go on our own eloquence. We don't go on our own wisdom. We go under one authority only, the authority of Jesus Christ. Our power, our ability, our witness comes only from Christ's power, not from our own power. And what message do we send? What message do we proclaim? What message do we take with us? With that authority in hand, What message do we take? The same message they had. Verse 7, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's all throughout the Gospels, that same very simple message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means the kingdom of heaven is where? Right here, right now, in this moment, the kingdom of heaven is now. So be ready, be prepared. I'm telling you, the kingdom is right now. That's the message that the 12 took from Jesus by his authority. One commentator, Warren Wiersbe, you might have heard of him. He does a lot of curriculum. He said it this way. He said the disciples were not salesmen. They were ambassadors. They weren't trying to sell Jesus. They were simply going on behalf of Jesus. They were proclaiming it. A great New Testament scholar named N.T. Wright, he said it this way. He said, we don't make the kingdom happen, we announce it. We don't make the kingdom happen, we announce it. And that's what Jesus was telling these 12. By his authority, I need you to announce, proclaim, declare, have a conversation about, discuss, dialogue, open your mouth and speak. This is what I need you to say. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Right now, the kingdom is here. And they didn't go in their own power. They didn't go in their own strength. They didn't go with their cute three-point talks. They didn't go with anyway. They went simply with the authority of Jesus, the same authority he gives us. When he declares at the end of this book, Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples. Why? Because all authority under heaven and earth has been given. And so go and make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them. And where's Jesus? With you always. That's the authority we go with. Because you ever try to do something without authority? I have a great real-world example of this. A couple of years back, I was over here on Pecan, right here, Pecan, and here. Pecan is both. There and there. And I was standing in the middle of the road on Pecan. Is it street or drive, people? Does anybody know? Okay, it doesn't matter. Pecan. And there were cars coming at me because behind me at Pecan and Heritage, there was a roadblock. And so what I had with me was a bright neon vest. Armed with this and my neon vest at dusk, turning to night quickly. Because I was trying to control traffic, because it was the Christmas parade that lines up around our campus, and we needed all the people who wanted to come all the way to Heritage and turn, we needed them to go through our church parking lot, the FLC parking lot, and go around. Because if they made it all the way to Heritage, they were going to get stuck because it would just create a traffic jam and no one could make a U-turn. And so here I am in the middle of the road with my yellow vest and my iPhone flashlight. I almost got run over 4 times. I got cursed at, yelled at, ignored, driven by as if I didn't exist. All because I was trying to help. But what didn't I have that would have helped me accomplish my goal? A badge that said police on it. And maybe a gun. I know that was the answer some of you gave. But the truth is, I needed a badge. I needed a badge, I needed authority, because the person with authority, the police officer, was just here at the corner of Pecan and Heritage. He was on Heritage. He was trying to control all this mess, but what I didn't have was authority. And so trying to go in your own authority is worthless. It's like trying to direct traffic with your iPhone flashlight and a nice yellow vest. It doesn't work. And so we don't go in our own authority when we go into these environments, when you go in to have a conversation about the gospel, about eternity, about spiritual matters. We don't go with our own expertise. We simply go in with confidence, knowing that I have authority in the person of Jesus Christ. It's not my authority, it's his. My authority doesn't come from my perfect argument. It doesn't come from my knowledge, my extreme knowledge of the Bible. It doesn't come because I'm a good debater. No, it comes because I have the authority given to me by my Savior, Jesus Christ. And so he tells these men to go, to go. And oh, by the way, you're going to go and do a bunch of crazy things. You're going to heal the sick. You're going to raise the dead. Like, wouldn't that be awesome? Like, to raise the dead? The news would be here so fast. It would be crazy. You would be a viral sensation, whether you wanted to or not. But here's the reality. When we read that, we think about, like, physically dead. Like, Lazarus, come forth. But when you and I share the gospel, when we proclaim the truth of Jesus, what are we doing? We're raising the dead. We're someone who's dead, dead in their sin, and they've come to life in Christ. That's what we get to do when we share the gospel. And so he says, go, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. And oh, by the way, when you go, don't take anything with you. Just you go. And don't collect any money along the way. People will provide for you. If you're making things happen, you're going to get taken care of. This is a sidebar little subplot of this story. Support people in ministry. That's what that says, okay? So we're going to get off that, but that's what that says. Support ministry financially is what that means. But that, as he does that, he's like, go, because the people that you encounter, they will take care of you if you're accomplishing what I've called you to do. What I've given you authority to do. And when you go, find a person worthy. Now, this is a funny word because we think, worthy, like, do they need to be morally good? Like, how do we determine that? And this word in our modern language gets a little confused because we think worthy, like, they're elevated, they're perfect, kind of the moral high ground. No, what he's referring to is someone who's a person of peace, who's willing to listen, who's open to hearing the message of Jesus Christ. They're hospitable. They're not antagonistic. Someone who's ready to hear. You may have heard the term a person of peace. That's what he's getting at here. Someone who would welcome you. They may not be a follower of Christ, but they're hospitable. They're willing to listen. They're a person of peace. And probably a person who has some influence in the community, an influence among their neighbors, a person who's spiritually hungry and would invite others to join them at the table as they experience and encounter what it means to follow Christ. A great example of that is Lydia in Acts chapter 16. Lydia was a successful businesswoman in the ancient world. She sold purple. What a deal. I'd love that job, just selling purple. And she sold purple, and she made a lot of money out of that. And Paul went to her and shared the gospel with her. She and her entire household come to faith in Christ, and guess what happens? She helped start the church at Philippi. That's the kind of person that Jesus is telling his disciples to go to. Go to the people who are open and willing and influential and hungry for something, a message of eternity, a message of hope. Those that are hurting in pain, even if they're successful or they're down in their luck, it doesn't matter. Go to those people and find them. And as you go, this is sort of implied. I'd say this is in the white part. Like for us, as we go and as we encounter people, you need to be praying. You need to be praying for divine appointments. Lord, open the door. Where are you already moving? That's where I want to be. If you've been around Christianity long enough, you know a thing called experiencing God. That was kind of the concept. Find out where God is moving and join it. Like, jump on board where God is moving. That's the idea here, is I want to pray. As I go into a situation, I want to pray that, God, you would open that door. It would be a divine appointment. Help me to see where you're moving. That's what he's calling the disciples to do. Find out where I'm at work, where the Spirit is already moving, and go there. Find that person of peace. Find the people that are receptive. Don't waste your energy in arguments with people who just have the wall up. Do you know people who just like to argue for argue's sake? They love to argue. those are not worthy people. Those are not people of peace. They would just soon argue with that brick wall. Like, you're not going to change their mind. They're not open about anything. They've made their decision. They're done. He's like, that's not where I want you to go. I want you to go to people who will welcome you, that the peace will fill that home, that place, that community, that town. That's where I want you to go. But what happens if you go someplace? If you're in an environment where they're not interested, where you want to have spiritual conversations, where you're trying to provide them truth, where you want to have open discussion about the realities of eternity, and they're not listening. He says, shake the dust off your feet. Now, this isn't like, I'm out, see you later, good luck in hell. Like, it's not that. It's not that. No, this is a sort of a symbolic act that Jewish people had when they would leave primarily a Gentile territory. Now, where did Jesus tell them not to go? He told them not to go where the Gentiles were, not to go to where the Samaritans were. Go to the house of Israel. Go to the people who are already God conscious. Well, guess what kind of town you live in? You live in a town that's pretty God conscious. I don't care if it's Friendswood, Pearland, League City, Alvin. We are pretty God conscious here in Southeast Houston. So where should you go? You should go to the place where people are God conscious. The lost sheep of Israel. Those who are God conscious but don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They haven't received the Messiah as their Savior. And so he says, go to those people. But if they don't listen, if they don't receive you, then the responsibility shifts from you to them. And that shaking the dust off your feet is really a sense of accountability now for them. It's not rejection of you. No, now they're taking on the accountability for their rejection because they're rejecting the gospel. They're rejecting Jesus, not you. So shake the dust off. I shared this a few months ago, I think, but I was on Instagram and I saw this kind of semi-famous person. He interviews people on the subway. He lives in New York City and all kinds of subjects you can imagine. But one, he happened to be interviewing a person who I'm pretty confident is not a follower of Christ, but she made a great statement about Christians. She said, if you know a Christian and you're not a Christian and they're not constantly after you about becoming a Christian, they're not a real Christian. She said, because if they really believe there is a heaven and a hell, and you're going to hell if you don't have a relationship with God, then they should be doing everything they can to make you want to go to heaven. And if they're not, they're not a real Christian. And the interviewer was like, oh. He didn't even know what to do with that. But that's Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 28. Go. Go. And sometimes we don't even get to the place where we're shaking the dust off our feet because we haven't even gone. We haven't even started a conversation. We haven't even been passionate enough and with understanding the authority that we have to even entertain a conversation. Because often we think that if I share my faith, I might get rejected. Or if I share my faith, I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to mess it up. So I'm just not going to share because I probably won't have the right words to say and I won't have answers to all their questions. Well, guess who doesn't have answers to all the questions? Everyone. No one. However you want to take that. Nobody has all the answers to all the questions. Nobody. None of us have all the answers to all the questions. But that's not the issue. The issue is I go in authority of Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to go, not by my own power, not by my own strength, knowing that if the gospel is rejected, it's not a rejection of me. Now the accountability is on them. Now it's on them. It's not on me. Even Jesus was rejected. That's the, hey, what do you know? Jesus, most of the people who Jesus talked to didn't follow him. And even that 12 guys, one of them is in this bunch, right? Of those 12 guys, one of them turned on him. Even Jesus isn't batting a thousand. And so we have to remember that our calling is not to say, okay, I've got it all together, and so now I can go share my faith, share the truth of Jesus Christ. No, I go with the authority and power of the resurrection living in me. Because if someone falls overboard and they refuse the life preserver, do you jump in with them and drown with them just to show sincerity? No, that's dumb. No. If you have a life-saving device and they refuse it, you're not going to jump in with them and die with them just to say, okay, couldn't figure it out. No. You're going to say, take the life preserver or it's your responsibility. That's it. That's the point. That's what he's saying about shake the dust off your feet. Like at some point, it's no longer on you. It's not on you. It's on them. They have to make the decision. And so don't personalize rejection. Don't feel like you're not good enough. Don't grow bitter or mad or scared to share your faith. Just keep doing what God's called you to do. And sometimes you got to leave graciously. You got to leave graciously. But what I want you to see is the magnitude of saying no to Jesus. This is what we should be helping people that we love and care for understand. Look at the end of the passage there in verse 15. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Does anybody know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Those are two cities, by the way. They got destroyed. And who destroyed them? God, most of the questions are pretty simple. God. And this is a famous story because Lot and his wife were told to leave the area, and Lot's wife turned around and looked back at the city, and what happened to her? She turned to salt. Salt. Like, it's worse for someone to reject the gospel than these two cities that got wiped out. That's the magnitude. That's the magnitude of saying no to Jesus. It's also the magnitude of our calling. Because evangelism, sharing the gospel, is simply offering the bread of life, nourishment, hope, assurance, salvation. It's not force feeding it. It's not cramming it down somebody's throat. It's saying, here, I have something good to offer. Please, take it, receive it. Receive Jesus. And in that, I want to be wise. I want to be smart. I want to be discerning. I want to know. I want to be intelligent. I want to be strategic. I want to be thoughtful in that. I want to know when to say something, when not to say something. I want God to speak to me in those moments that I can have an encouraging dialogue. I also want to be innocent as a dove. I want to be humble and gentle and be pure in my motives. Because I want people to see the beauty of the gospel. And so we have to balance. We have to balance that boldness with discernment. And I think sometimes we confuse discernment with fear. We say, well, I just need to discern the right time to talk to them, which really means I'm too scared to talk to them, or I'm afraid of how the conversation might go. When God over and over and over tells us to go, 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 speak. We need to be discerning about when to speak, when to move on. We need to stay gentle and humble. We need to be hospitable. We need to know the truth. But the reality is the gospel is very simple. I've shared over the last few weeks that, you know, Jesus came. He lived perfectly. He died for you. He died for your sins. He rose again, and he's coming back. That's the gospel message. You know it. It doesn't take a rocket scientist, and we have a few of those in here. It doesn't take that. It takes simple obedience, knowing the authority that we have. And so I want to invite you today to be bold proclaimers of the good news of Jesus Christ. I want you to trust God with the outcome. Trust God. Stay gentle even in the midst of hostility if someone gets angry at you. Be gracious if it goes poorly. Be gracious in your departure. But don't be afraid, because you have the authority of Jesus Christ. You have the power of the resurrection living in you. And so be bold. Proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Will you bow with me?